Hi, today is February 20th, 2022. This is Mobile Views Podcast 394. I'm Todd Agosto with my good friend John Westfall. And, this might be a short one, John. I don't know. Depends how long I rant, and you may want to slow me down if I start ranting.
It might be short, but I think the rant that you're going to go on, I also have some corollary rants to it.
Okay.
So okay. It just might be a rant cast more than a news or anything else.
Sigh, I know. You know, but it's good to be have your own podcast where you can kind of rant and share your ranting with friends and maybe a few strangers. But anyway, this is kind of a rant too. So, you know, last year, Google bought a company called Neverware that made a really interesting product called Cloud Ready, that basically puts Chrome OS on almost any Intel AMD type computing system, you know, Mac, PC, whatever, with some limitation that that they note. Anyway, so they bought them, and recently they announced under the Chrome Enterprise branding, which I found interesting, Google Chrome OS Flex, which is basically Neverware Cloud Ready. So I got kind of interested again because, you know, I'm a big Chromebook fan. I've got a couple of them that I've been using for a number of years now. And I thought, well, this is a good way to revive an old computer. You know, like how we would put lightweight Linux in distros on old PCs in the past. Except, because you can do this with Linux too. But you can boot from USB for Cloud Ready or Chrome OS Flex. So you don't even have to install anything except on the USB stick and then you just, stick it in, pull it out, whatever. So I got kind of excited again. I haven't thought about it in a couple of years when I looked at it earlier. And I'll tell you why I never used it in a minute. So I went to chromeenterprise.google/os/chromeflex. And, you know, again, it's Chrome Enterprise, right? So I said, gee, there's a huge sign-up thing. You got to put your name and address and phone number and email, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's not just like log in with your Google account to just get to the download page. So I didn't do that yet because I hate to waste my time and to find out, oh, you need to be a Chrome Enterprise customer to try it, you know? So I did find, however, that if you go to the Neverware.com site, they still do have the home edition of Cloud Ready that you can download. But here's the thing. The last time I looked at it, and I think this was like in mid to late 2019, so pre-pandemic, you know, for time frame for people who do such things. The reason I didn't try it is my recollection is that they were very fussy about the kind of USB thumb drive that you use. I think, for example, almost any SanDisk would not work. And guess what I mostly have? Lying around. You know, I might have a few Crucials and things, but mostly SanDisk because they sell everywhere. They're reasonably priced. They work well. I mean, there's no reason not to buy them. So I'm going to give it another try because I am interested in it. I'll even take some time. Maybe tomorrow's a holiday in the U.S. for me, at least. It's President's Day. And so maybe I'll spend some time tomorrow and go through the sign up only to find I can't download it because I'm not a Google Enterprise customer. But I'll try that. And failing in that, I will go back to Neverware.com and see if I can download their home edition and if they've cleared up some of the USB fussiness that I recall. Maybe I'm recalling wrong, but that's what I recall. If you could do this, would you try Chrome OS on an old device?
I might. You know, Chrome OS and I don't get along because we both don't know each other very well. We both heard things about each other. And in my case, the problem I have with Chrome OS is that in the education sector where I'm at, it's very popular in K-12. And once you get into higher ed, it's really useless. I mean, there's really nothing I want a Chromebook in my students' hands. I want them to have a Mac or a PC just because they are, you know, for example, I'll give you one thing. Students love to send me, instead of uploading PDF or doc files, they like to send me Google Share links. But 9 out of 10 times, they don't set up the sharing properly, and so I can't actually access them because I don't have permission. And I don't know if they're used to a Google, education platform where K-12, their teachers could access their things or what it is. But it's just another barrier that makes me not like Chrome OS. So I do think if I had a Chromebook, I might use it for something. I might play with it, and maybe I would find that I enjoyed it. But right now, the taste in my mouth is so bad from having to deal with other people probably, honestly, not knowing how to use their Chrome OS device, that I just am done with it before I ever start.
Well, let me ask you this. You didn't mention Linux. I assume no student has come in with a Linux notebook PC into your class.
No, they have not. But even if they had a Linux PC or a Linux computer, they would have a real file system and be probably used to the idea of knowing how to use files. I mean, I don't think you can use Linux without knowing a bit about how computers actually run. The problem, I think, today is that so many people under the age of 25 only understand cloud. They don't understand anything else, and the technology that I'm dealing with, unfortunately, doesn't always suit itself well to cloud.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually doing a book review right now for a book on R, and one of the things that, you know, the author was saying was something about, well, you know, load the data directly off of the cloud, but then their own example didn't work because the cloud link wasn't going to resolve properly. And when I actually looked in their source code, they just had downloaded it. And so in theory, the cloud works great. In practice, the cloud is fickle, more so than, file systems can be fickle too, but the cloud seems to be more fickler, if that's a word.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like K-12 education system, which, you know, does use a lot of Chromebooks, should really offer maybe like a, you know, an after-school course on college prep with a Chromebook, because you know, it does have a file system, you know, it's just like a Linux file system, and you can save files, you can download from Google Docs and save it, you know, in various formats to your Chromebook file system, and then, you know, mail it as an attachment. So it's a K-12 failing. Let's blame them, John.
I blame them for a lot of things, so I'm okay with blaming them for more.
Okay. But I just want to say it is possible. One thing that it doesn't do, if I remember reading the various articles about Neverware's Cloud Ready as well as Google's repackaging of it under Chrome OS Flex, is that it doesn't support Android apps, which Chrome OS native on a regular Chromebook running Chrome OS can do. At least some Android apps. And I think it doesn't support Linux, speaking of Linux. And, you know, you can run a Linux subsystem in a Chromebook or on a Chromebook. Mm-hmm. At the same time as Android, by the way. So you can have Chrome OS, Linux in a container, essentially. And Android, which I assume is also in a container now that I think about it. But I never really thought about it that much, I guess. Because I think I told you the story, John. So I got my first Samsung Chromebook, whatever it was called, and Plus, because it had a custom RISC processor co-designed with Google, and it was the first one that could natively run, or natively installed, I think, the Android compatibility layer or container or whatever it is. And so I got really excited by that possibility, because I always thought that was a pretty cool idea, and then I never really used it.
You know, that's so common, I think, for geeks, that we get so excited over being able to do something and then we don't ever do it.
Yeah.
And I think about mobile hotspot was a good one for me for years, where I had it and then wouldn't have it, then would have it, not have it. And I would get annoyed when I would lose it. And then it would be realizing, well, but I'm not using it in any way, shape, or form. So why am I upset? It's more like if we want to have the ability to do many things.
Yeah. It seemed like a good idea at the time, you know? Mm. And it does seem like a good idea. But, and, you know, the one thing I was using it for, it being the Android compatibility on Chrome OS, by the way, is I was using some of the Android Microsoft Office apps. But then Microsoft decided, no, we really don't want you doing that on a Chromebook. It's okay on an Android phone, but not a Chromebook. So they disabled that last fall. And so now you get a little message that says, hey, you know, go to the website. And as we discussed a week or two ago, you can also do the Progressive Web App installation, which I tried, by the way, and works pretty well. Well, you know, didn't expect it not to work, but it's convenient.
Works well enough.
Yeah, it's convenient. All right, so that was that rant. And I've got a link to iFixit article that has some of the not limitations, but requirements, like 4 gigs of RAM and certain kinds of AMD Intel chips and a few graphics chips it doesn't support. But iFixit has links to other resources. Okay, now the rant. Boy, wait, I got to take a breath. I want to start this. So I'm going to talk about Comixology. And yes. John, I know you're not a comics fan, as I am, but I think you've tried it.
Though.
Yeah, I think you've tried it. And so Comixology was one of the best reasons to buy an iPad when it launched in 2010, in my opinion, as a comics fan. Yeah, it was easy to use. It was easy to buy stuff. Easy to browse, easy to read, right? And, you know, reading a comic is a very, maybe not peculiar task, but very unique task. It's different from reading a book. It's different from a Kindle. First of all, it really needs to be in color most of the time, you know? And this is back in days when Kindles were only black and white or grayscale, I guess. If a 3-year-old child can turn a comic book page easily and without ripping it and, you know, enjoying it, it should be that easy on iPad too. And quite frankly, it was, you know? You had to get over a couple of things, like the fact that the original iPad was 9.7 inches diagonal, which is smaller than a comic book, and a couple of other things. So, you know, you tend to read panel by panel instead of page by page, sort of like looking at a physical comic book with a magnifying glass. But it worked. It worked well. The user experience was great, and the UI was great. And I was such a fan of it that when I was the organizer for a conference in San Francisco way back in 2010 called Think Mobile West, back when I was a blogger for Think Mobile, I invited the founder and CEO of Comixology, who graciously accepted. I think he may have even flown on his own dime. Did we pay his dime? I don't remember. But you have to travel. He had to travel from New York City to San Francisco, which he did. And I was extremely grateful. Great guy. Great company, Comixology. And his name is David Steinberger. And I was able to meet him in person and watch his presentation. It was great. It was wonderful. And so for the last 12 years, since the introduction to iPad, I have been a fan of Comixology. I've bought comics. I am, for the last couple of years, I've even been what's called a Comixology Unlimited subscriber. So I pay, I don't know, $6, $7, $8 a month, something like that. Let's call it $7 a month. And I can read not everything that's in their collection, but they have collections of comics that are readable by someone with a subscription, kind of like Kindle Unlimited. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of years ago, maybe more than a couple of years ago, Amazon. Well, I said that with some vehemence. I didn't mean it to come out that way. Amazon bought Comixology. Okay. And then, because now Amazon owned Comixology, Amazon was not willing to pay the 30% Apple store fee when you sell through the store, right? Which Comixology, as an independent vendor, did. And it made the browsing and buying experience wonderful. You go onto your iPad, you browse through something, you see something you like, and if you can afford it, you buy it. Because Amazon didn't want to do that, now that experience is completely broken. I had to go out to a PC or a Mac, or you could actually use a Safari browser on an iPad, but it's kind of a bother in my opinion. Because the UI wasn't really set up for the iPad in the browser. Works fine on a desktop. And now I had to go buy it separately, and then I had to go into the iPad and download it. And it was not a great experience, but at least reading was still a great experience. And I will say my spending went down dramatically after that. You know, I would buy a couple of comic books a month via the pre-Amazon period. And post-Amazon, maybe a couple of years, I really slowed down because it was just such an unpleasant task. Okay. Mm-hmm. Spin up to 2021, last year, Comixology, now owned by Amazon, announces, first, I think they announced they were going to do away with the app completely, and you would have to use the Kindle app to read a comic book, which is a terrible, terrible, terrible idea. Mm-hmm. It is just not designed for that. It's designed to read, you know, mostly text-only books. In fact, Do Kindle apps even have photos in them? I don't think so. I think you got to download
a
separate PDF.
But they're not. They're not great. I mean, especially on a Kindle. But if you're using the Kindle app, you're basically getting a regular e-reader app. Nothing special on the Kindle app. Certainly not the kind of optimizations you'd want for a comic book.
Yeah. So, you know, people got all up in arms, and I was like, I'll just cut my subscription at that point when that happens. But it hadn't happened. Okay, fast forward to February 2022, and something happened. So the Comixology app didn't go away, but it got upgraded, and I say that with air quotes and blood dripping down each of the letters. It got upgraded, and boy, howdy. I thought maybe I was the only, you know, I'm an old fogey, fussy type person, and like, wow, I'm like, I hate this. I hated everything about it. You know, I had to re-sign in. Okay, that's not a big deal. It deleted everything I'd already downloaded to read, which wasn't a lot. You know, it's maybe half a dozen, but I'm old. I don't remember which half a dozen I downloaded to read from my library. And so I downloaded everything, deleted everything I had downloaded over the last couple of months. And, you know, I procrastinated and didn't read them, and I forgot which ones I downloaded. And so now my library is completely empty, and I have to go like, what was I reading? What page was I on? I don't know. And so that was terrible. And then the reading experience is like, it's one of those things that it's hard to explain, John. I don't know if it's dramatically different. I mean, if a non-user looked at it, says, well, it doesn't look that different to me. But for somebody who's been using it for over a decade, any change is different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm very uncomfortable with this app. And the sad part about it is this app was so good for over a decade. I remember thinking when other vendors, DC, you know, the folks owned by Warner Brothers, owned by AT&T now, I think, actually. DC Comics, which owns, you know, Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman and those kind of characters. When they came out with the DC Universe app a number of years ago, I remember thinking, boy, I wish they had licensed the Comixology app because it's such a better reading experience than what DC had produced or Warner Brothers or, you know, whoever. Mm-hmm. And... But the thing is now, DC Universe has actually improved its UI UX subtly. It's still not great, but subtly enough that I'm like, or maybe I've just gotten used to it over the years. But it's like, you know, this is okay. I'm okay with this. You know, it's not exactly like the Comixology app, but it's okay. Now it's like, whoa, I'm glad they went their own way. Because I would hate to have two apps, two comic book reading apps that are both bad. So at least now if I cut off my subscription to Comixology, I can still read what I bought, by the way. But I won't have access to the, you know, the library, the shared library that I pay monthly for, like a Netflix subscription. And I'm kind of okay with that. I'm still debating if I'm going to do that or not. It's not a lot of money, as I said, but it's enough that, you know, if enough of us do it and send a message, they'll say, maybe we did something wrong. I should say it's not just me being an old gray-haired person, you know, fixed in my ways. There are a number of articles that basically echo my sentiment. One by Gizmodo says, Amazon's Comixology overhaul is here and it sucks. I love that. I don't know who came up with that, but that was a good one. You know, by the way, when you write for these, and you've done it, John, you know, when you write for other publications, not your own blog, you often don't have control over your title. But anyway, so whoever came up with that, more power to you. Apple Insider said, Amazon's Comixology migration is a disaster. Here's what you need to know. And it goes on and on. They're just, you know, and I tweeted a hate mail to them. I said, you know, your UI UX people should really look for a new line of work. Because this is just awful.
You know, this is reminding me of Microsoft's recent upgrade of OneDrive on macOS, where they basically made everyone go to Files on Demand.
Yeah.
And wiped out our local stores of files just overnight without any mention of it, such that I had to then go back through and tell it, no, really do store these things on my computer. I don't want them always in the cloud.
Yeah.
And it's made me seriously consider how much I want to keep using OneDrive, because that was something I wanted. Yeah. You know, so often companies think that what works for the use scenario for the user they want is what all users should have. And unfortunately, the decisions I think get made in terms of how can we monetize this more and get the hyper monetized users to spend more versus an actual usable product.
Yeah.
Oh, and sometimes we don't even understand how the monetization works, but in their mind, okay, we have to have it this way or that way.
Right. And you know, one other thing I worry about, by the way, if they completely, you know, this is, well, you hate, this is my theory, right? This is a, what did you call it? A false flag attack on users. So, you know, they made a terrible, terrible upgrade to the Comixology app to the point where they say, well, if you think it's so terrible, just use Kindle app. You know, just stop using this.
Yeah, you can just use that other app that you never liked.
Yeah.
Because now you hate it less than you hate the app that we gave you. So. Yeah.
And, you know, it could be, and I haven't used the Kindle app to read it. I tried years ago, and I think there were separate companies or something, and it was terrible, so I stopped doing that. But the other thing I worry about is the Comixology app is very, I don't know what the word is. It's very practical, forgiving, understanding. Here's the thing. I read comics on a lot of different devices, including desktop every now and then, you know? Desktops have nice big displays. It's great for comics. It's larger than life. So, you know, a desktop, iPad, an Android device, an iPhone, you know, just a whole bunch of stuff. And as a result, I probably, as comics, have the Comixology app installed and not activated, but logged into in, I don't know, 6-7 devices in total, desktops, iPads, iPhones, Android, you know, whatever. The Kindle app only lets you download a piece of content, I think, 5 times. So you cannot have something spread across. And, you know, you'll say, well, why would you want a comic book on more than 5 devices? There are these things called graphic novels, and they're in the hundreds of pages, and sometimes I change devices. Would I change it 5? I don't know, but I'd like to think that if I did, I wouldn't care, or it wouldn't care. But Kindle does, and I've run into that because, I don't know if you've run into this, John, but back when the Kindle app was kind of novel, you and I used to test a lot of devices back then, you know, 10 years ago. And I would, and I always liked to grab the same book because, you know, same reading experience, right? And whatever font they use or whatever. I don't know if it was different, but... and it was like a Star Trek book or something like that. And so I downloaded it, you know, to 5 devices. And then the 6th one, I was testing a new device. And I said, no, you can't do that. You've already downloaded it 5 times. So I said, well, shoot. Now I got to download something else. And this was a device that I think I had to return. It was a loaner. So it's not something I was going to keep. And so I said, well, I can't download it. I want to. If I download something else, it means it's going to count towards the 5. And that means I can't read it. I might not ever be able to read it, even though I bought it, right? Because so I said stopped reviewing the Kindle app on devices, essentially.
Yeah,
because you know.
Yeah, DRM, you know, is just not what companies think of as the normal use scenario. When you're a journalist, a blogger, or a geek, you hardly ever fit into the normal user scenario, and it makes it so that who could be your greatest evangelists also turn into your greatest enemies as a company. So I think sometimes
that's a good point.
People forget about that. You know, they think, well, you know, we've got to prevent this sort of abuse, but they don't realize they might be losing more, you know, save a couple cents, lose a few dollars, because all the people that might otherwise speak highly of your product in the press are not speaking highly of your product.
No. Well, at any rate, I have no idea what Amazon is doing at Comixology, and this is really a false flag attack on my usage of their content, I guess. But, boy, I hope they really rethink this, because it is terrible. I mean, it is just, everything about it is terrible, including the way it was announced last year, and then the apparent changes in strategy in the intervening months between, you know, let's say last summer and now. Boy, it's just been a disaster from my point of view. Now, I admittedly, you know, Comixology users are probably not a huge population of users. Maybe hundreds of thousands. I don't know. Maybe not. But I will say this. It has been around for over 10 years now. You know, either as an independent company or part of Amazon. It's lasted a lot longer than most Google services.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So... it must have some significant number of users, significant enough to, you know, continue its service and development of the app. And I haven't been to a comic book store or seen a comic book in a non-comic book store in so many years. I have no idea what the walk-in traffic is like for physical comic books anymore, or if people subscribe via paper, and what happened to these stores during the pandemic when, you know, people were not going out and buying stuff unless it was a necessity. And although when I was, you know, 6 or 7 years old, I probably would have convinced my parents that there was a necessity that I get to a comic book store or, you know, a five and dime, what used to be called a five and dime,
true.
I guess, you know, to go buy some. But so that's my two rants. Don't know if the second one is fixable. I'm hoping the first one, that's the Google Chrome OS Flex and Neverware Cloud Ready Home Edition, is, I think I'll take a look at it tomorrow on President's Day and see what's going on. You know, I forgot about that OneDrive change. Microsoft has been doing a lot of stuff to Apple users, haven't they?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's made me think about, since I do pay for a terabyte of iCloud space, moving everything to iCloud, the problem is iCloud doesn't always natively store everything on device either. So I don't know. I've got a few other alternatives, but it's making me think about what I think of as my corpus of working files, because I have obviously my network storage where I keep archive files, but you know, the stuff I might presumably need on a regular basis, I was keeping in OneDrive, and I might move those somewhere else, sort of see what I want to do with them.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the topics, or related to one of the topics I know I mentioned to you a while back that I thought we should really attack at some point, and that is the archives in the sense of retrievability by others, you know, after you pass on. And, you know, it's something I've been thinking about for years, and I've been trying to do something about it over the years, but I'm not sure it's enough. And so I need to really think about it. And for one thing, I haven't written down what to do. I've kind of told my daughter, you know, this is what you need to do, and this is where you can, you know, you can find access information and all of that. But that's about it, you know, and I haven't done a good job of documenting it. As my dad did. My dad, he was literally dying. He had the presence of mind to write down like pages and pages of stuff so that, you know, we would know where to find everything, which is kind of amazing in retrospect. But definitely something I want to look at for personal reasons. And, you know, a lot of us have, of course, encountered, you know, people passing and then not knowing where everything is, in, you know, both digitally and physically. So it's a, you know, it's a real world problem. And for some of us, that real world problem is a fewer years away than it used to be. And it needs solving, you know, without too much procrastination to delay it. Anyway, we have used up just about 30 minutes. We are awesome. We can talk about
sometimes
two things
in 30 minutes. We can rant about so many things.
All righty. Well, that's all we have, I think, John. I don't really have anything else. No new apps. I'm trying to think of anything I've... nope, I can't think of anything. Yeah. All right. Well, you hang in there, John.
We have finished our rants.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe we'll talk about weather if we run out of stuff next time. But
I'm sure we'll have more rants for next week. Someone will annoy us.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, folks, Mobile Views Podcast 394 is in the can. We'll talk to you next time.